السلام عليك زين الأنبياء. السلام عليك.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank our Lord سبحانه وتعالى for all of his blessings, the blessings that we are aware of and the blessings that we are unaware of, the outward blessings and the inward blessings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to always be thankful and to show gratitude for his blessings subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're able to do that, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has promised us increase. This is why they say is that shukr is the qaid of the ni'mah. One of the ways to preserve your blessings is by showing gratitude. The more we show gratitude, the more thankful we are, the more that we are taking the means to preserve the blessings that we already have and then expose ourselves to more. And this is the nature of the believer. We are thankful for what we have, but we also want more. And in relation to the world, it is blameworthy to desire what's in the hands of people, to have tama, to greedily desire what's in the hands of people. And it's a very low aspiration to want to resemble them in relation to their worldly success. But tama, desiring what is from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desiring his gifts, desiring what he bestows upon his blessed servants, is from the essence of faith. And that's not considered to be something negative. On the contrary, that is what we should all want. We should desire that great gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as they used to say time and time again, is that we were not created so that Allah could benefit from us. We were created so we could benefit from the blessings of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا خَلَقَنَا لِيَرْبَحَ عَلَيْنَا بَلْ خَلَقَنَا لِنَرْبَحَ عَلَيْهِ. And they use the language of commerce. Ribh is ribh is profit. Allah created us so that we could benefit, so that we could come to know him, so that we could receive his gifts subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the opposite. Allah does not benefit from us. Whether we worship him or we don't worship him, whether we know him or we deny his existence subhanahu wa ta'ala, that doesn't harm our Lord in any way tabarak wa ta'ala. We are the ones who benefit when we acknowledge the existence of our Lord. And we are the ones who benefit when we worship him sincerely and we do righteous deeds and we thank him and receive that increase subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this next great trait of futuwa is a very important trait in all times, but especially in a time like ours where we're exposed to so much, where there are so many different things that distract us. We live in the age of distraction. And through primarily modern manifestations of technology, there are a multitude of ways now that we are distracted in ways that previously people were not. And this is something that, especially this trait that we're going to be speaking of, we need to understand and think about very deeply and strive to apply it to our lives. Because living in the type of world that we live in, it's very easy to get drawn away from what's going to benefit in the next world. It's very easy for us to get derailed and to forget the whole purpose of our existence and what it is that we want to spend our time doing now here in this world, so that when we transition to the next, then when we enter into the grave and its loneliness that accompanies us in the grave, that we want to have a sense of intimacy that comes through righteous deeds and things that we've done now, preferring the next world over this world, which takes the form of us doing things for his sake subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we right now in this moment, whether we are here in person or whether we are following online or whether we will watch it at a later time, make a righteous intention to be here for the sake of Allah. We're here for Allah, and that we seek blessings from Allah for being here and doing everything that it is that we're doing. Remembering Him, seeking His forgiveness, sending salawat upon our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, supplicating Him with beautiful supplications that came from the heart of arifin billah, people that know their Lord and know how to ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing all of this and making a righteous intention to do so, we are actively doing what was mentioned. We are preparing for the next world. And when we return to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, those times that we spent doing these types of acts, we will realize then how precious they truly were. And we will wish that we would have spent more time doing those same things. We would have wished that there was a maulid every day of the week and multiple times of the day, that there was different types of majalis and gatherings of remembrance of different sorts that would protect us from all of these other distractions that are trying to that create a sense of dissonance in our heart. And this is what happens naturally from all distractions, is it creates dissonance in the heart. And the more sensory that we let in, is that the more clouded the heart becomes. So when we talk about purity of heart manifests when you sit down and you try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude. If you have purity of heart, you'll be able to remember Him without distraction. You'll be able to remember Him without your thoughts straying. You'll be able to remember Him without thinking about things that are impermissible. You'll be able to remember Him with purity and a state wherein, by which that you can actually concentrate whatever form of remembrance that you are reciting or you are reading. So this next trait of fatwa, as Imam al-Sulami presents it to us, says, وَمِنَ الْفُتُوَةِ إِشْتِغَالِ الْعَبْدِ بِمَا يَعْنِيهِ مِنْ خَاصِ أَفْعَالِهِ وَهْوَالِهِ. It is from fatwa, spiritual chivalry, for a servant to concern himself with his own actions and affairs. And really what it says here is ishtighal al-abd. One is preoccupying themselves. Because let's always remember the statement of Imam Shafi'i. The two great things that he learned from the people of Tasawwuf. One is that your time is like a sword. You either cut with it or it will be used against you and cut you down. And the second is that the nafs, your own self, your ego, if you do not preoccupy it with good, it will take you into evil. This is the nature of the nafs. You have to go out of your way to preoccupy it with good, to fight the natural state of entropy of the nafs, spiritual entropy, where you move into a state of disarray. You move into a state that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala by virtue of the nature of this heavy nafs that will bring you down. The spirit is light, and we want to ascend and to rise up and to do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So preoccupying yourself, bima ya'ni, with that which concerns one. And this is really, really important, because we've all heard the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we should look deep into, take a bit of a deeper look into what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. This trait of a fatwa is an echo of a hadith. Min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the excellence of a man's Islam is his abandoning, is his refraining from delving into that which does not concern him. So what the question really is then, what concerns us? And if we think about our day-to-day activities, if we think about the things that we say and the things that we do, the things that we talk about, the things that we ask about, how many of those things actually concern us? And the hadith that was just quoted is so important. And that Imam An-Nawawi says, this is one of the three ahadith, and many of the other hadith scholars as well, that they say, Aleha madar al-Islam. There's some say three, others say four. There's different that interpretations of this and the books of hadith. But some say that there are three hadith that are the axis of Islam, meaning they're so important, they're very right at the heart of the essence of what Islam really is. And one is the hadith of intention, the other is about the hadith, about the halal and the haram being clear. And then there's this hadith. Leaving that which does not concern one is such an important hadith that Islam is considered to be the axis of Islam. And when you look at what the scholars say about this, this relates to our qawl, our words, our fi'l, our actions. It relates to our nadhar, what it is that we look at, and it relates to our fikr, what it is that we think about. So it relates to our words that we say. It relates to the actions that we do. It relates to what we use all our limbs for, but specifically what it is that we see, just as it relates to what it is that we think about. All of those things, ideally, we should be using for the sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for something that's going to be of benefit. Now, the amazing thing here, this doesn't mean that we can worship 24/7. And this is where intention comes in. There's times, of course, where you're going to relax. There's times, of course, where you're going to have worldly conversation with people and with family and so forth and so on. But what is your intention? What is your intention behind it? When you relax, when you exercise, when you take it easy, when you eat a meal, what is your intention? If your intention is right and you're making a righteous intention behind that, even those acts, relaxing and yes, taking a vacation, having fun even sounds strange saying it like that, yes, you get reward for it. If when you relax, your intention is to strengthen yourself for worship, for learning, to do righteous deeds for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to relax. You're a human being. You need time off. And if you make that intention, that time that you spent doing that is actually a form of worship that you get reward for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through the power of intention, you can unlock all of the different aspects of your life and help them become worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's to think about the words that we say, the things that we do, what it is that we look at, and what it is that we think about, and what really concerns us from those various things. And when our Prophet said that husn al-Islam, he meant kamal Islam. This is from the perfection of someone's Islam, is that we reach this state of uprightness in relation to fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala and avoiding the prohibitions and to doing what is pleasing to Him, such that the vast majority of things that we do, we realize things that are necessary for our deen and for our dunya, for our religion and for the world. And that's really the criterion of those things that are considered to concern us and those things that are considered that to not be of what concerns us. Are they really needed? And that's fairly an easy criterion when we think about our own selves. And then a lot of other people will say that, okay, well, I'm asking about other people, I'm reading a magazine, or I'm following the news, or I'm reading something online, or I'm looking at my Facebook feed, because it's important that I be aware of what's happening in the world, so forth and so on. It gets back to your intention. What is your intention in listening to the news? And how many people pay zakat on the time that they spend on social media? And the zakat of social media is that, okay, that 1/40th of your time, 2.5% of the time, so however much time that you spend there, 2.5% of that spend making dua for the people that you're reading about. So if you're listening to the news, if you're reading articles, if you're finding out what is happening in the world, does that translate to even 1 minute or 30 seconds of dua? Or actually doing something to help people? So yes, it's important to be aware. A believer is aware of the time in which they live. make the right intention when you are attempting to be aware, but also what are we doing about it? Because we have to be careful. On one hand, you could be overloaded by just hearing bad things in the news, which the vast majority of things that are talked about in the news tend to be negative, tend to not to be positive. And we know that our teachers are actively involved in establishing news stations that also present good things that are happening. Now, to try to do that in Western lands is a whole other question. Is that even possible that with Western media? But this is important for us. Just as we find out about some of the things that have gone wrong, we should also know about some of the good things that are happening in the world. Because despite all of the wrong, despite all of the problems and tribulations and all the things that are going bad, there are a lot of good things happening too. And across the world, there are beautiful stories of beautiful things that people have done that are inspiring. And then in the end, it's one of the most beautiful statements that I've ever heard. If we could put this into practice, our lives would change completely. Sayyid Habib Omar said, "Man nazara ila al-mahasin, jama'a al-mahasin." Whoever notices what is good and beautiful, that is what they will accumulate and acquire, is what is good and beautiful. So you have a choice. You could only choose to look at what is ugly and bad. And if you constantly look at what is ugly and bad, that very well might be what seeps into your heart. Or that even when you're looking at something bad, you could also try to notice the silver line. You could look at it from a different perspective. You could try to notice some of the opportunities or the good that is in that bad or that wrong that you are seeing. And that's another meaning to that, because you will look at things that are wrong. But if you notice what is good in things and you try to focus on what is good, that's what you become. How many of us are strong enough to just learn about what is wrong all the time and to still remain upright? We're not. And this is why this trait is so important. Preoccupying ourselves with what is important and focusing on what's going to benefit us in the world. Imam al-Ghazali's definition, the had, he says, of what concerns us is that were you to speak and tatakadnam bi kulli ma law sakatta anhu lam ta'tham, is that you only speak about things that were you to remain silent about those things, you would fall into sin and you wouldn't harm yourself in relation to the present life that you're living and in the future. Walam tatadarrar fi halin wala ma'al. So meaning, when do we think about that criterion? Meaning that, do I have to speak in this instance? That's Imam Ghazali's criterion. Meaning that some instances you have to speak, and if you don't, you fall into sin. If you don't, he says, it doesn't concern you. And if it's not going to lead to darar, remember that word today? Darar yudurru. That it won't harm you. Fi hal wala ma'al. In this world life or in the life to come. That is a very different criterion. And that is a very lofty criterion. But this is here not so that we can say that, oh, this is the way that people were 1,000 years ago. We have to bring this into our lives and to really think carefully how you and I can slowly move and inch towards and move in the right direction of putting this into practice for his sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do this, that we will find is that there is enough that we need to come to know about our own selves, and specifically our faults and things that we need working on to keep us preoccupied. And one of the beautiful aphorisms of Ibn Atta'il al-Sakandari is that he said, "Tashawwufuka ila ma batana fik min al-ayyub." So you're wanting to come to know. Tashawwuf is like you want to know something. You wanting to know the faults that are hidden inside of you. خَيْرٌ لَكَ مَنْ تَطَلُّعُكَ مَنْ تَطَلُّعِكَ إِلَى مَا حُجِبَ عَنْكَ مِنَ الْغُيُوبِ, is better for you than what has been hidden from you in the unseen. So when people read stories of the awliya that they want to, that have things happen to them like what happened to them, to know secrets and things of that nature, And there's a story of Habib Ali al-Habshi, is that one time that he realized there was a very righteous man who was selling that a type of food that normally it's not associated with an honorable person selling it. But Habib Ali al-Habshi was a person of Basira. He realized that he was a very special person. And he asked to come visit him. And so he goes, and then the man who was selling this food realized that Habib Ali al-Habshi had an intention in doing so. And so they sit down and they're together. And the first thing that this man said, and no one else in the marketplace knew who he was. He seemed like a very normal person. And he said, do you want to speak about the ulum al-ahadiyya or the ulum al-muhammadiyya? Do you want to speak about knowledge in relation to that relates to the presence of Allah or that relates to the secrets of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then Habib Ali that said to him, that I want to, let's talk about the secrets of the knowledge that relate to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they had a conversation that extended for a long period of time. And at the end, this righteous man looked at Habib Ali al-Habshi, said, he said, for you to have spent this amount of time that we just spent coming to know one of your faults so that you can purify your heart from it is greater than everything that is that we've talked about. And this is the perspective. So even in relation to spiritual matters, let alone relation to things that will drag you down and preoccupy you, let alone things that will drag you into what is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that you and I that have to put into practice. And in closing, the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'mineen, as we heard, is that which begins with قَدْ أَفْلَهَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers, those who humble themselves in prayer. What's the next verse say? وَالَّذِينُ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مَعْرِدُونَ. Those who avoid idle talk, and that's that same meaning that is indicated in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and in this blessed that trait of spiritual chivalry, those who avoid idle talk, mu'ridun, they turn away from it. They are those who that focus on what is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and what concerns them. And time, there's not enough time to go into all the details of the application, but we should reflect upon that. What really concerns us? Let's reflect on the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we think about, the things we spend our time doing. What really concerns us? And how can we start moving in the direction of, okay, turning away from certain things, not getting bogged down or preoccupied by certain things. They're going to, that at very least, prevent us from drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so much more that we could be doing, things that we know for sure are going to help us and benefit us in this world and the next. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us in all of our affairs. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.